Angeles, UK, the hotel, and I make sure that we were sitting tall and the knob before while you wait for your contact. And he suddenly said, look, I've got to go and ring up these two guys. He went out and made a phone call. And that at the time when he was ringing up, it was likely to be the space terminal. He told me they were coming for you. And because you don't ring them up, they ring you. And then I had an appointment, so I went off shortly after that. I know you didn't do that, but I had a little lecture to him. And anyway, I haven't been on that one anyway.
Yeah, I was just there. You know, that they would have asked you to allow, but I guess maybe the reason why they didn't, because you did have a lecture, which is an obligation.
Sure. Well, also, I couldn't have given the lecture tour this year, because my lecture tour, the lecture I'm giving is a very nuts-and-bolts lecture, with no personal experience in it, whatever. It's purely factual proof of it. The theory, which is very important. In the moment they give me a trip, that I should be very, very quiet about. I can't resist a lecture.
I see. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Somebody told me, what I call a word, about, do you have any photos taken?
Well, the only photos that there is available right now are those that were in both books.
Yeah, but the only photos taken close up.
Don't do that,
yes.
No.
Well, I noticed every photo on the surface taken close has that underneath.
Well, because this, what you call a field force, known as a field force now,
yeah.
It radiates from the body of the ship outwardly, it almost brings the same idea, except not as heavy, as you would try to take pictures through water.
Yeah.
That's about the same
thing. Yeah, I've noticed. I believe that that is one way, I think, of judging a genuine picture, as a bit of that.
Yes, there would be
a telescopic picture.
Yeah.
Or provided that, because your camera was at a distance.
That's right. You see telescopic pictures of this. Yeah, now these telescopic pictures were taken at 6,500 feet, which had a chance to avoid that radiation after the camera. But you came right up close to it, which we had a case like that within 50 feet, and the whole thing was just blurred.
Like that is
interesting. Now we have another question here. What is there in this, and such a long life on Venus? Well, long life on Venus should not have been a mystery, for it was only 2 years ago down here in San Francisco, the Medical Association had a convention of what they call a medical instrument. And they made a statement, which is well published in all of our papers down here, that if it wasn't for our consciousness, the human body as it is today could live on for 800 years, right here in this world. Well, consciousness covers an awful big deal.
Well, they found out now exactly what causes this, and that is old age. It's a cell. Each cell is a little living individual, which passes out.
That's right.
Matter. When it gets old, the wall between them do carry away this waste product, so everybody clogs up and then it
moves.
Now, if they can find an enzyme or an injection or a frequency treatment that will clear up this stuff between them, they'll be able to bring an old man back to young youth.
That's right.
From a life ago, the hundreds of years, they may even find it.
Well, you speak of a young man. When we grow intelligently, we should be growing intelligently by daily living anyway. You should add the sound good to our daily life from time to time. I would say something like this. Let's look at the picture of life. Does life itself have life?
No
way it is.
No,
it doesn't. Of course, then when you live the proper method of life which God has put for us to learn and live, we will not know any age either. And these people have learned that, yet we read also in our Bible where Methuselah has lived 900 some odd years at some time and so forth. Now, there's a speaking here of thinking of race. Well, it's quite possible and quite logical to assume that when there's a cloud formation casted over the earth, known as a firmament or something like that, that would filter out some of the deadly rays that we know nothing about yet, that our bodies are not accustomed to or to be able to absorb. And right now we haven't got that. As they had it in those days when they speak in the Bible of those long years of life and so forth. naturally, those rays maybe are affecting us. But who is to say that if we continue that way for some time, that our bodies might not be adjusted in reverse and go on as long as it can?
Well, this is a part of it, maybe, the way we expect cosmic radiation, we may set up tension.
That's just attention. And here,
here is a shell that men can drink toxic acid and snails and plasma when they're suitably their mind to receive them.
That's right. But you see, as far as these rays are concerned right now, naturally they would do more damage to us today. Even the normal rays would do us more damage pounding against our bodies, because seldom the person relaxes even going to bed today. The world is in a high state of tension, and the more intense they are, the greater resistance they put up to the rays that one time probably have not known. Because you go back to 1910, for instance, they used to work hard, but they also played easily, and was quite relaxed. But when they left the business house, they went to bed, they were relaxed. But today, they don't relax even in bed. Now, here we have another question regarding the large ship. How do the occupants go from one to one into another? Very good question. I shall answer. A big large ship, which we have yet not given the information on, which I have, that are larger than anything that has been given to the public of flying through space, that never come close to Earth, and even those that are what we call large, you don't have to walk in them. They got little conveyances on the magnetic rails that take you from place to place and from a level to a level in those ships. Just the same as our elevators do, as well as tracks down on which they ride from one end to the other. They do not do too much walking, although they do very much in exercise. Now we have another statement here, a question to be answered. Bible students claim not to believe in flying saucers. Of course, I can understand that very easily. I contact a lot of them because they don't know their Bible. That's why they don't believe in it. Because they say,
let us modify it, say, some Bible.
Yeah, some Bible do, that's right. It says that the Bible doesn't mention them. Well, naturally, we don't mention, year after year, we keep changing names for some one thing, and different each time. So in the times of the biblical history, well, they were called something else. They were called clouds, they were called, for an example, let us put this, of a Bible in the context with this one. Ezekiel chapter 1, which is 2,555 years ago it happened. Actually it happened 555 years before the birth of Jesus. Well, or maybe longer, but it was written at that time or recorded. We find here that he called it creatures. Today we call the same thing flying saucers or spaceships.
Describe the wheel within a wheel.
That's how you
got in the whirlwind.
That's right.
Pulsating light.
That's right.
Oh, yes, they should look up at me.
Why, because there are 350 cases in the Bible, but today it's named flying saucer or a spaceship.
And it's called a chariot.
Yeah, and that appears at different times. So the Bible student, if he doesn't believe that, because he doesn't know his Bible. But if he studies his Bible carefully, he will find 350 cases in reference to what we term today flying saucers or spaceships.
Yes. And he might, if they have a Hebrew Bible there, a Hebrew scholar, they might read the original and see that how near the original in Hebrew and if he's Jewish nearer than the various English translations. Describes this pulsing light and this great noise of the wheels going up into the sky. Perfect description of a saucer.
Now, another question here about that, well, the explaining of the Adam and Eve. Well, the question there of Adam and Eve is quite a puzzling question, isn't it, to everyone? Yet we must admit that they have been brought here, or they've been placed here, or something happened, like the speak of Enoch, there's a statement here in reference to Cain and his wife, that's it, Cain and his wife. Well, where is the land of Nod? Well, I'm inclined to believe, my own personal opinion now, I'm inclined to believe then that land of Nod almost means like a land of nothing, which might be up there in the sky. We don't know, because then we assume that to be nothing. It is a thing that we don't understand.
That was the question.
And that is, where did Adam and Eve come from?
The
Okay, how do you explain the enemy in his question?
Well, first you think, Joe, the enemy may have been the native epithet of earlier races, because James has don't turn me out because any stranger that meets me may kill me, admitting that other races running around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Adam and Eve may be the symbol of the first purely earthly race.
That is quite possible, and that's the way I'd rather take it too.
I mean, look at America. You have the native Americans, the Indians,
mm-hmm.
here, and then you have these white people coming in ships. From another world, the old world, coming up the new world. Now they blend it together and they are all American. You know, originally we are two distinct races.
Yes, and well, it
says the sons of God who came down from the daughters of Mary. They gave it names, the celestial race, the space race, and the purely celestial or earthly race.
Well, you see, I have a statement here that was published in the San Diego Rancher magazine that comes out once every 3 months. It was amazing to read down here that even down here, only a little way from us, Mount Hamilton is described near St. Marcus, where they speak of the Indians who were brought in from other states, landed on this mountain, and then these people that brought them in distributed them and told them to go around the territory. Now, whether that's true or not, we don't know, but at least that's been carried down, and it's been recorded well enough, at least to be written up.
When it's very gay, maybe a race legend was the same thing. But if you get back to the fundamental, if man is an eternal and a space being, actually moving through the universe, developing planets, you will get spacemen coming in, migrants, immigrants, and then you will get natives. Rising up and developing from the lower kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And in both Darwin is partly right, and the statement that is partly right, they both blend in terms.
To answer this question here, Mr. Brickwell, the space people have told me this, that just as the cells in a human body die and others are born, to keep their body going, to take their place, as they die, others are born, we find that the universe is the same. There are many planets there that are in this, on the basis of disintegration, like Alphorn, have a beginning and an ending, and others are coming in. And while it's not a possible situation, but it's a volunteer system, through those that understand,
yes,
that people move out from other planets to populate the new planet in the years they're going, just the same as probably this one started, or like the Americans started, when the people from Europe finally found that there was America and started coming this way and populated the good old USA.
Yes.
And fulfilled a very big part of the divine plan. That's right.
Of the world.
Man seeks to be the keeper of Father's garden.
Yes.
This was the Father's garden, so I would put it that way.
The garden.
Yeah, well, I would say that who is to say where they come from? In mere fact, the king got his wife from someplace. There was somebody that decided Adam to produce his wife, to bring his wife into manifestation. Then as we go along, also saying where it's quoted where the sons of God came down and took unto themselves the daughters of men. Well, all right. Maybe at that time there was some more brought out from faith, which is an admission that they were able to transmigrate from one planet to another and take on other planetary ideas as well as intermarry.
Yes.
So, what prevents them from taking place today?
I mean, the most common of arisen in fact, the Genesis was one of the sacred esoteric books. In the old days, it was never read publicly. It was kept in the tabernacle because it's written more as a formula than a concrete statement. The moment it became public and was read as a formula, misinterpretation happened. Just at the beginning, when the parables were given, the disciples took them as concrete facts. Until Jesus explained, they were formula with a deep truth inside.
That's right.
They were Genesis, where it says a day, it means a great cosmic period, endlessly.
Yeah.
And red mass wave is highly scientific.
But you see, what we overlook is this, that even we ignore Jesus teaching on these grounds, where Jesus even said to his disciples, which was already a hint that supposed to understand his position and the services that he had to render. And he said, I feed you with milk and not with meat, because he realized that he could take a certain amount of information, but the heavier and deeper information they could not get. And we are in that position today.
And he went further, you remember, the Acts, to tell them many other things, but tell them not to reveal them. That's right, he tell them a lot of private information.
Well, he knew they couldn't give out publicly.
That's right, but the church has kept that.
Well, it's amazing, though, that the brothers with whom I have spent much time and getting forces the book and got me much more material yet have told me things like that, too. The only thing I reveal it to the public would not be able to accept it as easily as they should. And surely the infrastructure would not at all. And it would be more sarcastic than anything. So I had to keep a lot of things, but I can understand that.
You can see it all of this, Richard. I mean, there's still people who say you photographed a lampshade and hypnotized Lucy and Alice to see a spaceman.
But I'd like to know the powers I possess to hypnotize the camera to take the picture of the space ship. I didn't know that a man possessed this kind of power to be able to hypnotize the camera.
And certainly to produce a photo which experts have said is taken to a telephoto lens on a very large object. Now, a lot of people are asking me the question, why are you keeping a secret the names of the men you mentioned, which you found in your book? Why do you keep this and that secret? Well, after all, when we give a word of trust to our fellow beings, we should be big enough to keep it. And I drew that process because I have never yet revealed any name of any man that would jeopardize his position. I have been given information from our God-born good forces because of it, and because I kept my word. Well, the people are anxious, it's true, and they want more definite answer and concrete and something of a notoriety nature. Well, I just wish sometimes that I could, but I do hate to break the trust which is placed in me, as I do hate to break the same trust to do something that people say, now why don't you snap a picture of a spaceman when he stands before you? Well, I'd be breaking the trust he placed in me. If he told me, well, now I'm ready, you can take my picture, I'll do it. But if he tells me not to, I'm surely not going to do it.